So I wrote you a letter, and you know, this being our last fellowship here at this Ambassadors Youth Advance, I wrote, I'm very blessed to invite you to our Ambassadors Youth Advance. This is an exciting time of continued growth together, believing who we truly are. And hasn't it been that? Times like this help shape who we are and what decisions we make in life. And that's really important, that you make life's decisions at a time like this when you have the word in your heart. A terrible time to make decisions is when you're bummed out and just like, you know, you're not thinking clearly, and then you make a decision. Is that a good time to make a decision?
No.
But a time like this is a great time to make life's decisions. And I'm going to tell you right now, I made some major life's decisions that didn't come to pass for over 10 years after I made them when I was 13 years old. When I was 13, I made some life's decisions that were just boom, there in my heart. And then they started to come to pass in years following. So don't think, oh, I don't know what my life is. Come on, man. You have a great life to live, and you could make life's decisions right now. I encourage you to come, get blessed, get helped, and get loved up. Did you get blessed?
Yes.
Did you get helped?
Yes.
Did you get loved up?
Yes.
If you didn't, that was no one else's fault but yourself, but I don't really think anyone was missed. I really don't think anyone was missed here. So that's pretty awesome. And then I said, you can also love, help, and bless others that are coming. And that's what you did. You loved each other up with the love of God that you have inside of you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So if you come with that heart, you will get the most blessed. And then our theme verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors, and we are for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So, wow, that's so cool that these things have come to pass and are coming to pass. So I shared on the first night about how we are ambassadors, how we're representatives of the highest rank to bring forth the message, and that we are ambassadors. It's not a question, it's not a maybe, it's not a if you feel like it. You are ambassadors, we are ambassadors, and we have a life to live, a more than abundant life to live, as more than conquerors. That is exciting. That's life, okay? A more than abundant life that we get to live. And then Nathaniel Rosa shared on service or serving in the body as ambassadors. And what a great sharing that was. And with Nathaniel and Caleb sharing in particular, it's so great when you hear the word from someone that's doing and living what they're sharing. And that's what makes it has an extra, you know? He shared about Jesus Christ's example and how he was the Lord. No higher position that exists anywhere, seated at the right hand of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yet he washed the apostles' feet. He brought himself low to serve and to give. What an example, Jesus Christ. And then how Paul was a bad guy, and then he believed, and he decided to serve in the body and to serve the word. So great. Then Caleb, he shared on what to do when you're sad, how to go to the word when you're sad about something. And how great is that of a topic to handle? Because, you know, you think, oh, it's great for teens. It's for everybody, all ages. Because the adversary has no new tricks. He's always trying to get somebody sad about something, getting them to off track with the word and stuff like that. We all need to be brought back to the word. And he shared on how to renew your mind to the word and, you know, not letting our feelings and emotions run our life, but that we could control that with the word by putting on the word, and how we can be a blessing as an ambassador and not a sad one. That was amazing. It was great. And you are living that, man. You are. You're doing it. And you did exactly, you know, if God's word said, renew your mind once and you're good, and you never have to renew your mind again. That would be great, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing. We renew our minds continuously to the word. And then Tim Gilmore, he shared on how Jesus Christ was an ambassador of God's love to the world, and how many times that was with one person at a time, and how an act of love can touch someone's heart and they'll just never forget it. It just does something there that's gonna stay and stick. And how the love of God breaks through culture. How people need to be loved the most when they deserve to be loved the least. And when you love with the love of God, it's God visiting his people. And you can all do that. So great. And then Reverend Alberto Penna shared on why we do what we do, getting people back to God. And he started with the hope and ended with the hope. Did you get it?
Yeah.
It's the whole deal, man. The gathering together. God wants people to be put back together with him so that they could be there, so they could be part of the gathering together, so they could have that life where he started in Revelation, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, getting people back together with God. It's beautiful. And then our brother Andres Flores, standing on God's word no matter what, and how we could even stand when our friends don't. How we anchor ourselves to God's word so we don't drift. What a great mind picture. And when we stop doing the word, we're drifting. I love that. That was great. And we do all to stand. Having done all to stand, we resist the adversary and he will flee. And how we get to bruise Satan under our feet. And that's a great thing to think about. We get to smack him around. And Aaron Schack, the one body ambassadors for Christ, how you are needed and you have what you need. That is a great statement. We are needed and we have what we need. God's dream was not just to have one Christ, but many. Each member of the body is so important. Each does his part that the others can't do. And when she said, if your foot's not good at writing, what are you going to do, cut off your foot? What a perfect mind picture to understand the body of Christ. That just because somebody's not doing a thing, how dare you try to cut them off of the body? They're going to do their thing, and others do their thing. That was perfect. And how we're ambassadors for Christ where we are. It's great. And then we have Patty Hannon. Patty Hannon shared, we can't wait for someone else to do it. We could do it. You do it. And how God works in you. Listening to God to the end of obedience like Jesus Christ. You know, when you're a kid in the Word, what are you taught? Obey, children, obey your parents and the Lord. Well, that's so that you could obey God when you're older. So you could learn how to obey your Father God. It's God's word is really simple. It's great. And how we could be the ones to do it. You be the fireman. Even though there's 20 people around and everyone's staring at each other like, who's going to do it? You do it. God works in you. Be the fireman. I love that. If there's anyone there and you're there, don't wait. Do it now. And then Jesse Carr, he shared on making an imprint on the world as ambassadors and how we're examples, a tupos, an impression, a blow. How Thomas wanted to put his finger in the print of the nail in Jesus Christ's hand. And the word print was the two posts. That's quite a mind picture. I don't know if I'd want to do that. But we make an imprint and an impact in the world, in word, in conversational behavior, in love, in believing, and in purity. And how we can make people remember us and the word by our example. So great. So, yeah. That's just some from my notes anyway. It's fun to do that. So you can go to the Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It does not say Christ in you there. Christ in a person is that salvation, to be saved. But a person in Christ is the renewed mind, one's fellowship with him. So you see the difference? Christ in you, Christ in a person is salvation. But a person in Christ is the renewed mind, one's fellowship with him. So we decide to have the mind of Christ, you see? No one should ever control your another person cannot control your thoughts. They can, you know, influence you to think something. And unless you're possessed by a devil spirit, you think your own thoughts. And you decide to be in Christ, to have the mind of Christ. And that's the renewed mind. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, see that? It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about having a renewed mind in Christ. He's a new creature. It's great. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things, the things in one's mind are passed away. Behold, all things have become new in that person's mind to the extent that he's in Christ in that fellowship. And all things are of God who hath past tense reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. In the Gospels, Jesus had the ministry reconciling men to God. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the church administration, the born-again believers, you and I have this responsibility. If he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, then we are responsible to utilize and operate that, and that's us doing it. We have this ministry of reconciliation. And we could sit down and ignore it and do nothing about it, or we could do our part. We could be the ones to do it. It's great. What a privilege we have to be part of it. We're part of it. We're not just in an audience watching a show. You're part of the show. You're a great part of the show. Verse 19. To it that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thank God for that. God doesn't want to just point the finger at people all day. He just, there would never be a time to stop pointing. He is not into that. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What good would it be for us to have the ministry of reconciliation if we didn't have the word of reconciliation? And Christian's prophecy that he brought forth really struck me, because he said, speak your word. And I thought, well, God did commit it to us. It's ours. It's ours. It's not like we invented it. You know, it is God's word, but he committed it to us, so now it's ours. I thought that was great. We have the word of reconciliation, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and how we operate manifestations to do this stuff. Beautiful. 5:20-21. Now then, not when we die, but right now, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For God hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. And that wasn't, you know, he didn't even sin ever, but yet he made him to be sin. And taking all the sin of everybody in the whole world. It's actually quite efficient on God's part to take care of it in one full swoop like that. You know, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the sacrificial lamb. He didn't have a blemish or a mark or anything. He was perfect. And all the sin of the whole world, everything that you've ever done or will do, and every other human being, all that sin was put on him. So if the adversary tries to point the finger at you, that you're so bad because you sinned, you can give him the double middle. Because God took care of that a long time ago. You see? For God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's where you need to end up. You need to end up in your mind that you're righteous. You're as righteous as God is. That it's the righteousness of God in him. You're as righteous as God is. It's not a partial thing. It's not a little piece of righteousness. You're as righteous as God is. Because Jesus Christ paid for the sins and he took them all. So when God sees you, he sees the Christ in you, the perfect Holy Spirit, where there is no sin. That's how God sees us. And man, what an honor to be seen that way by God. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, the Word says that you're an ambassador for Christ. And why not act like one in this world? You know, you can be whoever you want to be in this world. You want to be an astronaut? You can do astronautical things. You want to race cars? You can race cars. You want to play music? You can play music. Why not be an ambassador for Christ and act like one? Because you are one. And if some high, you know, I guess the highest in this country would be the president. You know, if the president called you and said, hey, I want you to do something for me and represent us here and go and do this, you know, be quite a job to do. Well, God has called us to be ambassadors for Christ. It's quite a job you have. And you can do this, and you can do it in a great way. Here, I'm reading something. This is from the PFAL book. When you're born again of God's Spirit, the Word says you're an ambassador for Christ. Do you know how the average Christian ambassador looks? He looks weighed down with all the sins of the world and completely whipped as he bears his cross. He is unenthusiastic, glum, and washed out. That's when you don't believe that you're righteous. That's when you take the sin and you don't believe that it's paid for. Then you act like that. You know, and some of the greatest people with the biggest hearts get tricked into doing that. And it's called condemnation. We've all been guilty of it. But that's not the Word. And look at that. He looks weighed down with all the sins of the world and completely whipped as he bears his cross. He unenthusiastic, glum, washed out. Don't be surprised if the rest of the world isn't standing around waiting to hear this ambassador's message. That's kind of what Caleb shared, right? You have a sad ambassador.
Yeah.
People are just going to walk right on by. He couldn't even entice a mouse to a garbage can, let alone interest the secular world into their reconciliation with God. man. We need to believe our sonship rights. And look at this. This is what I wanted to read. Why not walk down the street in our communities, in our cities, in our towns, in our various sections of the country, with our shoulders back and our head held high and say, I am a son of God. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you this morning? Well, I'm wonderful. Didn't even give him a chance to answer. How are you this morning? Well, I'm wonderful. We have become so accustomed to seeing the average Christian sullen and defeated that nobody projects the attitude of an ambassador with sonship rights. You and I are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have, and we will be what the word of God says we will be. If it says that we're sons of God, if it says that we're ambassadors, then what are we?
Ambassadors.
So be one, act like one. It's great. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. So this ambassadorship, you know, we said it's a representative of the highest rank to bring forth a message. But it's not that only. We're not just messengers. You know, you could hire someone to deliver a message, right? And they deliver the message and then their job is done. We're not just messengers. We are actual witnesses of our message. We are partakers in the message. In Acts 1:8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We are witnesses. And, you know, you might think like in a court of law, you have to be like an eyewitness to a situation. Well, in this particular case, our witness is better than being an eyewitness. We're witnesses because what it says here came to pass. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And on the day of Pentecost, when they received Spirit within, what did they do? What?
Spoke in tongues.
They spoke in tongues. And that speaking in tongues is a witness that you have Holy Spirit within and that Christ was raised from the dead. Because if Christ did not get raised from the dead, you would not be able to speak in tongues. So you are a living witness, just like Jesus Christ said that they would be. Better than if you saw with your eyes. See, if you saw with your eyes, that's only you. What about the guy next to you who you're telling about it? You say, I saw it with my eyes. He was like, oh, you did? Yeah, right. But you can speak in tongues, and then that person can also believe, and then they can speak in tongues. Much better than an eyewitness. You see what I'm saying? Much greater than being an eyewitness. Romans 8:16. Speaking in tongues. Why do you think we had these Excella sessions here for people to speak in tongues and then interpret and prophesy? So many of you guys did it. It was great. Speaking in tongues is so many wonderful things. I have in my wallet a little card that says all the things speaking in tongues is what it does and what it's good for. And it's just tremendous to understand all that speaking in tongues is. And before we leave this morning here, we have a gift for you, and it's pins. You're going to each get two pins that say SIT on it, and it's two different designs that Hannah and Lexi made for you guys, and they're really neat, and you should hold on to them and keep them forever. So here, Romans 8:16 says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The spirit that you have, the Holy Spirit that you have, is a witness that we're children of God. How do you know you have spirit? How do you know you have spirit? Because you could speak in tongues. That's your ID card to heaven. You know you're going to heaven when you speak in tongues. There's no question about it. You know you're righteous when you speak in tongues because you have Holy Spirit. You know you're an ambassador when you speak in tongues because you speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is proof that we are sons of God and that we can manifest all the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a big deal. So do you see how we're involved in our message? That he's risen? We're not just messengers, you know, handing off an idea. We are partakers. We're deeply involved. We are actual witnesses of what we're witnessing. Because you're born again and you can speak in tongues. And you can speak even if you have not spoken in tongues. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you absolutely can speak in tongues. If you want to. It's all free will here. God never possesses anyone or makes them do anything. But it's our message that we live, that we are partakers of this message. Christ got up, so guess what? We get up. That's huge. We're deeply involved in this message. We're telling people that he is risen. And guess what? If the Lord tarries, we will be risen. That's a good one. We get up too. We're reconciled to God ourselves. Like between us and our Father God, we've been reconciled. Our witness is deep. Our witness is personal. We have been reconciled to God ourselves. So when you share God's word with people, it's not just some message from an idea. It's something that you are living and enjoy and will enjoy for all of eternity. Hebrews 2:1. I only have 2 more verses in case you were wondering. Well, two scriptures to go to. I didn't say we're going to read all the whole chapter. No, just kidding. We're sons of God, man, and we're sent into this world to be ambassadors for Christ. What an honor and a privilege. Imagine if he only picked certain people to do that and he left you out. That wouldn't be nice, right? But it's all of us. We're all ambassadors. We're all sent. Hebrews 2, verse 1. I thought of this verse in light of what Andres shared about drifting. Check this verse out. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Isn't that an awesome verse? I'll read it again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. And heed is to bring near to one's mind, to attend to apply oneself to cleave to. We should, it's necessary, we ought to. Heed, bring near, turn one's mind to, attend to, apply oneself to cleave to the things which we have heard. That's great. The things which we have heard. And what have we heard? What have you heard?
The word.
When you hear the word, you deem it important. You turn your mind to it. And here's why. Lest at any time, and that's, it could happen any time, we should let it slip. And this let it slip, it means we would let it, the things we've heard, drift away. Let it slip means drift away, to drift past, like an unanchored ship. So that's why we give heed and earnest heed to that which we've heard, as to avoid letting it drift away. Isn't that cool? It's so simple. We just renew our minds to the word. We keep bringing it back, because the current's always going to be away from the word in the world, but we just keep bringing it back. So we'll close in Philippians chapter 2. We read it a few times here this extended weekend. Philippians 2, verse 11. We'll start here. It says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That right there is word over the world. Every tongue, all of you tongues. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brother, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear, respect, and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that is something that we all need to believe, that God works in you. I don't know that I would be able to do anything if I didn't believe that God works in me. I wouldn't be able to do anything. I'd be stuck. I'd be just paralyzed and really not knowing anything to do. But because of the word that I have in my heart, because of my relationship with God, I know he works within me. And I let him. And it's, you have to believe that God works in you. When you're talking to people, what you bring up, what you share, what you do, all of these things, God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. His spirit is within you. It's God in Christ in you. He's in you. He is working in you. And then this verse right here, it almost seems out of context. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't argue with God. Don't argue with God. If he works in you to do something, as Patty shared, what? Do it. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, you know? If God is conducting the conductor of the symphony, you're going to start arguing with him about your part? Just do all things without murmuring and disputing. That, verse 15, ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in this world. You're a light because it's God in Christ in you, and you have God's word. It's your word to share. Holding forth the word of life. Man, we have a living word. It is alive. This book is not some dead book that could be put in a library with all the other books in there that are dust covered and whatever. This word is alive. You ever see a little speck of something on a table and you go to flick it and move it and all of a sudden legs pop out and starts moving around? It was alive! God's word is alive. It's a living word. It's holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And when we speak God's word, or when we love people, or when we do anything that God wants us to do, it's never in vain. And we do get rewards, and God remembers all of that stuff. And that's pretty neat. So we are ambassadors. When people meet you, you are the most important person that they will ever meet when you walk as an ambassador for Christ. There's no other person that they could meet that's more important than that. You are ambassadors, and you are the best. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making us ambassadors for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us Christ within and committing the word to us that now we can take it and speak it to others. And that we partake in our own message that we have, that he's risen and we know we will be risen should Christ tarry. And if not, we'll gladly get caught up together in the clouds to meet him in the air. Thank you, Father, for the great privilege we have to be alive today and to know your word and to have your spirit within us and to be in such a great body of Christ that we could fellowship with such wonderful people. Thank you for this, God, and we thank you for the time we've had here that we were able to do it. And God, that your word can just live in everyone's hearts here just for our whole life. Thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.